Well, it's good to be with you again this week. We're going to continue our study on the increase of faith. After the Lord taught that entire lengthy subject, starting in Luke 15:1, all the way through Luke 17:10, he gave the disciples some difficult instructions, at which point they said, "Lord, you better increase our faith." So I've got my big Bible out today. Open with me to Luke 17. We're going to look at those instructions and what the Lord said to him. So starting in Luke 17, verse 1, the Lord said, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother," now this is a Christian brother, "if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And of course, in another, one of the other gospels, he told Peter, Peter said, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? And the Lord said, "No, I say 70 times 7. And here he's saying in a day. So, well, at that point, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. When Pastor Dave would teach on this, he would say, you know, when he sent them to heal the sick, they didn't say increase our faith. When he sent them to do this and that, they didn't say increase our faith. But here when he says, you're going to have to forgive your brother seven times in a day if he repents, I go, Lord, you better increase our faith. We got to have more faith. Now, what's amazing to me is that the Lord, in these next few verses, he is absolutely answering their petition. They're asking for an increase of faith. And he very specifically tells them how to do that. So if he told them how they could increase their faith, if we pay attention here, we can learn how to increase our faith. That's the subject. Lord, increase our faith. The first thing that he mentions to them is when they say, well, increase our faith, he starts talking about a mustard seed. So in verse 6, "And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." I want to put my Bible down for a minute. And I've got some notes. Some days he has me teach purposely without any notes. But today is not one of those days. I'm going to stay fairly close to this. So the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. Don't we all want that? Increase our faith. Not only when it comes to forgiving people, but everything really that he taught in this whole parable. This whole, no, I keep saying parable, this whole discourse from Luke 15:1 all the way through Luke 17:10. And boy, there's some hard things in there, you know. In there is the story of the rich man, which really, if you want to know the truth in context, he's talking about the Pharisees and the scribes and the ones that all the people looked up to as being the highest, like the pinnacle of the righteous people of the day. But in that story about the rich man and Lazarus, that rich man he's talking about the Pharisees, who they were in religion for what they could get out of it. They didn't care about the sinners at all. What they cared about was wealth, the best food and the fine wine. And I remember when Dave would teach on that, I remember Lazarus, that poor beggar there, he was just wanting crumbs that fell from the table, but the rich man, they didn't care about him at all. Well, Lazarus is a type of the sinners that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. They're very valuable to God. But here these, you know, people were very religious, but they didn't care. They didn't have God's heart at all for the sinner. Just stepped right over them, wouldn't give them the crumbs that fell from the table. Well, where did that guy wind up? He said, well, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. This is scary stuff. So it's not just the part about, you know, being able to forgive everyone their trespasses. It's scary, some of the things that Jesus said in there. And so they're going, Lord, you need to increase our faith. And I agree. Well, I want my faith increased, and I know you do too. Well, when he starts talking off about, the very first thing he starts talking about here is, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to this sycamine tree, another place you could say unto the mountain, we'll look at it later today, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, mustard seed faith involves saying, and it involves results. See, they're going to increase our faith. Or he's going, okay, I want you to have faith like a mustard seed. All right. Okay. That's going to, when you do, now, again, let me just read some of this. I can't improve on it anyway. I pray and pray and pray. I feel this is kind of like my version of Dave's dreaded yellow pad. For those of you that remember those days, many of the services, Dave would come down and he would just read off the dreaded yellow pad, you know, because he couldn't improve on it. He'd spent time in prayer and study, and then he'd begin writing the revelation, and he would share that with us. So I'm going to share with you today how the Lord allowed me to put this in words. It is important to notice when Jesus talks about the mustard seed here that he does not use the word size. Now, many modern translations, they insert something from their own mind that is not in the original language. The word size does not appear in the original language in that verse. If your Bible has the word, if it says something like, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, just know that's not in the original language. The translators are inserting that word size from their own mind. It's the way they see it, but it's not what Jesus said. It's important to notice that Jesus did not use the word size in his answer, as many modern translations say. Jesus, if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out not one time did Jesus ever brag on anybody for having little faith. He's not talking about faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. He's not teaching that little faith will move the sycamine tree. The disciples did not ask about how to use little faith. They were asking the Lord to increase their faith. And Jesus is answering their question. So Jesus is telling them how their faith can increase. The first principle is they need to have faith as, and that means like, a grain of mustard seed. See, a mustard seed is it's so small it looks like a grain of pepper. By all external appearance, it seems quite insignificant. See, and that's the way most believers are. They feel about themselves like, Pastor Dave would say, I'm Joe Public, I'm Mary Wallpaper, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I must make mistakes all the time, I keep making this mistake, I keep doing that same habit over and over, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. Well, see, that's kind of like on the outside, yep, pretty much like a grain of mustard seed. By all external appearance, you might feel and look like pretty insignificant. But see, what he's trying to say is there is an image. When you look at a mustard seed, which that seed itself is so small, it looks like a grain of pepper. It is like nothing. You blow it away. But see, there's an image on the inside of that seed that is way bigger than the seed. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. What he's talking about is don't be looking on the outside of you for faith, little pepper grain, little mustard seed. No, no, no. Faith has everything to do with the God who is inside of you. Oh, now we're starting to talk. See, because they're familiar with the mustard plant over in Israel, and the kind of mustard plant they grow there, it starts off very insignificant. You can blow it away. It's just a little, on the outside, it's nothing. But there is a full-grown tree on the inside, the image of a full-grown plant that'll grow to be like 12 to 15 feet tall. It becomes a tree so that birds can come and make a nest in the branches, you know. What he's saying is, don't be looking on the outside of you. You have to have faith on the God who is in you. I don't know how else to say it. How many times did Jesus say, it's not me doing the works, it is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Now, Jesus knew the Father was in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He knew that. What's he talking about, the Father in me? That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the same one that's in us. I'm getting ahead of myself. So let me read a little more here. See, the type of mustard plant that is grown in Israel results in a tree that's anywhere from 12 to 15 feet tall. If you were to walk up to one of those trees and bring a seed, a mustard seed with you, and just hold it up against that tree, you're looking at the seed and you're looking at the tree. That came out of you? This giant 15-foot-tall tree came out of this little seed? It was in there the whole time? Yes, it was. See, real faith is not in, it's not about you. It's about the God who is in you. God, I keep saying that. I love that. What is the conclusion? When Jesus is talking about the mustard seed, he's trying to get them to understand there's something inside of the mustard seed that is way bigger than the mustard seed itself. For the Christian, what is the image? It is Christ in us, which also means it is God in us. You do know that one of the names of Jesus prophesied from the Old Testament is Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel means God with us. And the first manifestation of that was when Jesus was born with a physical body, and we see him in maturity in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God in the human vessel, Jesus, God with us, going about just doing amazing things, healing the sick, casting out devils, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, just doing, destroying the works of the devil everywhere that he goes. That's the first level of God with us. But see, Jesus, he became the seed. He said, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. It's just one. If Jesus had never gone to the cross and be buried, glorified, there just would have been one. But he said, no, if it's planted in the ground, if it dies and planted in the ground, then it bears much fruit. So the second level of God with us is for the born again Christian. It's Christ, which is God, in you. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here's the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That word hope has everything to do with what you see in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul said, as we behold as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Looking into a mirror on the inside of you, what is it? Christ in you. In John 17, he says, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that we may be one, unified. See, did you know, let me remind you again what the Bible says. Increase our faith. Well, you're going to have to quit looking at your littleness and start looking at his bigness on the inside of you. You've got to start understanding Christ truly is in you. And the Holy Spirit is in you. See, look at 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians for a moment. Let's be reminded of this truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 19 and 20. What? Like, what? Wait. Like we do today, you know? Wait, what? Know you not? Don't you know this? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Christ in you. The Father in him. Well, the Father's still in heaven. Christ is still in heaven. What's he talking about? All of that comes in you by way of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that Jesus said he would send to us. Look at it again. Now let's just focus on the Holy Ghost part right for right now. Know you not that your body, he's talking about your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Now listen to me. If the Holy Ghost is in you, that means God is in you. We are all maturing, but let me let you in on a little fact, my brothers and sisters. We are maturing, but the Holy Ghost is fully mature. God in you is full-blown, mature God. God's not growing. The Holy Ghost is not growing on the inside of you. Now, you're growing. I'm growing. We desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. We are all increasing in our understanding and our knowledge. That's why, even though that God himself is on the inside of you, he doesn't release all that power to a little three-year-old child who's going to, you know, there's one Tonka truck and two little boys, three or four years old. You're about to see World War III. You can't, all you can give little kids is gifts, you know. You can't release the full-blown power to infants. That's why in the first letter to the Corinthians, you know, Paul uses a very interesting word there when he says, I can't give you meat. I can only give you milk because you're spiritual babes. You're just babes in Christ. That word that he uses there for babes, he's really talking, that word is only used one way, and it's for infants. And I mean, the literal meaning is not able to talk yet. They can coo and they can cry and they can make the sounds, but they're not even old enough yet to make intelligent speech. That's the word that Paul used to describe the Corinthian church. And yet they're all puffed up, you know. But see, what's amazing is to that very church, it's just little infant babies. He says in chapter 1 to them, you come behind in no gift. God is able to use us even in our infancy. From day one, when you get born again, he's able to use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, thank God for that. But it's only as the Spirit wills. And it's obvious why. They're just infants. They'll hurt each other. I mean, you know, he has all this power. One time he showed me a picture of here's God, the Holy Ghost, with all of this power. But he had like a little eyedropper, you know. And for little infants, he's in them. He wants to use them. But he could just give us a little drop of his power. You know, there's an old saying, I think a song that says, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Well, as long as we remain infants, what can he do? I mean, you've got the full, if your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that means your body is the temple of God. Now, God is not growing. Christ in you, the Holy Ghost in you is not maturing. Christ is fully mature. The Holy Ghost is fully mature. The power is there, my brothers and sisters. It's how much can he allow to flow through us? Will you use that power for the kingdom? We'll get there. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Let me finish the verse. Which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, let me turn the page here. Give me just a moment. Oh, now, this sentence is so important. I'm not going to try and improve on it. I'm going to read it. Faith is never dependent on the size of the mustard seed. Faith relies on the power of the one who dwells within the mustard seed. Faith is not dependent on how small you are. Faith is dependent upon how powerful God is within you. Whew. Can I read that paragraph again? I need to hear it myself. This is, Lord, increase our faith. Well, okay. You want an increase of faith? You're going to have to stop focusing on you. See, why would they say that? Why would they say that when he says, I want you to forgive your brother if he trespasses against you seven times in a day. If he repents, forgive him seven times every day. You know, they didn't think they could do that. They're looking at their own self. If you want us to do that, you're going to have to increase our faith. He said, well, part of the problem is, boys, you're looking at you. You're thinking you can't do it. But the real truth of it is there's a God on the inside of you. There's another one. You're going to have faith like the mustard seed. You're already thinking, I can't do this, because you're looking at you instead of looking at the God who is in you. Anyway, look at 1 John 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because, now here it is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is mustard seed faith. This is, you're starting to look at the one who is in you, see? Something way bigger in the mustard seed than the mustard seed itself. Smith Wigglesworth, who most of you know, was called the Apostle of Faith in his generation. He died the same year I was born, 1947. I've studied him. I've read his books. I've read books written about him. Smith would say about himself, he says, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And he was a big man. He was a barrel-chested Englishman, pretty stocky if you've ever seen pictures of him, but he was always well-groomed and well-dressed. But even though he was a fairly stocky, significant man, he understood he's just the mustard seed. He's going, no. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Now listen to me. So are you. Christ in you. Greater is he. Notice the personal pronoun. He that is in you than he that is in the world. See, Jesus, when he was teaching about sending the Holy Spirit in John 14, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And they're going, good. But Jesus himself is going to be, he knows he's going to die, be buried, be resurrected, be glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's not going to be coming back to them physically for a long time. Now, he is coming back one day. Thank God. That's the blessed hope. And we're looking forward to the day when he comes back again. But what he's talking about, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he's going, I heard one preacher say, it's almost like I'm sending my other self. See, we really have a hard time understanding the Trinity. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one Lord. I mean, God is one. We only believe in one God, not three. God is one. But this infinite God in his wisdom, apparently the best way to present himself to finite creatures like us with this mind, the natural mind, the best way to represent himself or explain himself to us is God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have we see them as three separate things, and even in Scripture, the day that Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, well, here you've got all three. You've got the Son being baptized. You've got the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And you've got God the Father speaking from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You see all three right there. But right at the same time, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. But then he talks about this Holy Spirit. Which is, and we go, when you start thinking about that too much, your brain starts leaking right out your left ear, you know. It's like, whoa, We just have, that's one of the things you have to receive by faith. But see, when he says greater is he that's in you, well, Christ is in you, all right, but he's in you by way of the Holy Ghost. Anyway, another time when Jesus was teaching on faith, he started it off by telling them to have faith in God, okay? So we could say, I'm going to talk to you again about this increase of faith. Have faith in God. Now, he did not tell them to have faith in themselves or to even have faith in their faith. What he says is have faith in God, or he could have said it this way, I think. Have faith in the God who dwells within you. So this is Mark 11, and I know you're most likely pretty familiar, but we're going to read it again. It's good for all of us. Mark 11, verses 22 through 24. Now, remember what had just happened. He had cursed the fig tree. You know, I often wonder, what did they think? He's walking by, he's hungry, he goes to this fig tree. It says the time of figs is not yet, but he's still looking to see if there's any fruit on the tree. He did it on purpose because he's going to illustrate something. But anyway, they hear him speak to the tree. They hear him speak to the tree. And he says, no man eat fruit of thee again hereafter forever. Well, at first it didn't look like anything happened, and they heard what he said. I don't know if they were wondering, our master is talking to trees. Anyway, they go on and go about their business for that day. But then when they return, that tree is already withered up from the roots, and they're astonished. They, Lord, look at this tree that you cursed. It's withered up from the roots. And then look what he says here. So Mark 11, starting in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He is really teaching the same thing that he said to them about the mustard seed. Let's look at that again. Let me back up just for a moment. Go back to Luke 17. Verses 5 and 6, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. You might say. Notice he says say. Now there he uses a tree. In Mark's account, it's a mountain. But what he's saying is your faith should produce results. But notice, in both cases, he starts off, How do you release that faith? How do you access the power? You say, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. You're going to speak words. Here he says it this way. Have faith in God. Well, how do I do that? Whosoever shall say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. See, this is why the Lord again and again and again for years has been telling us, come away with me, spend time with me, spend time in my word, spend time in worship, spend time in my presence. Could I say it this way? Get to know me. Get to know me. Again, it's very much like the elder son that would have to, he didn't have his father's heart at all. He didn't understand. He didn't have the love for the sinner that was in the father. The father was, he so wanted his lost son to be saved. He cared about the sinner. The elder son did not. There's only one cure for that. The elder son would have to start spending time with his father. Again, grab a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and a thermos of coffee. Go in with the father and say, Father, I need to spend some time with you. And I just get this picture of fellowship. You know, they're starting to just talk. And maybe he hadn't really spent any time, quality time, just him and his father for a long time. Christian, It's so easy to get so busy with the cares of this world, even to just so busy with even good things, ministry things, yet you just don't spend time with him. But see, the only cure for that elder son was to be to spend time with the father. And it wouldn't have been very long. He would have noticed the father kept glancing out the window, looking down the road, you know. He said, what are you looking for? Dad, what are you looking down the road for? And he would have said something like, I'm hoping today is the day that your brother repents and returns home. I so want your brother saved. Well, at first he would have thought, you mean that brother that went out and took your inheritance and spent it on sin? And he didn't have any heart for the sinner. Just like the Pharisees didn't have any heart for the sinner. Just like the rich man didn't have any heart for Lazarus. Didn't care about him at all. I'm interested in my best life now. Thank you. I just want my best life now. I want the best food, the best wine, the best house. I don't want any problems. So, you know, can't you even share a crumb with this Lazarus? No, I don't care about him at all. Well, it's not good how that wound up. But see, if that elder son, day one, he wouldn't have had that love in him that was in the father. But if he came back the next day and spent quality time with his father, little by little, so see, the love that's in that father would eventually start getting in that son. Did you know that the love of God does not exist on planet Earth without God? There's only one source for the God kind of love. There's only one source, and that's from God himself. The love of God, you have got to get it from God himself. So, he told me one time, human compassion is as deadly as poison when it's substituted for my compassion. You could say the same about love. Human love, you know, like a mama bear loves her cubs. Her love will kill you if she just thinks you're a threat to her cubs, you know. God kind of love is much, much higher than a mother's love. It's much higher than human love. God's love. What's amazing about God is while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You talk about love. Oh my, can't get off on there. All right, staying with Mark 11:22. Here, it's really teaching the same thing. Have faith in God. And really, he's prophesying, he's talking to them as if they're already born again. Jesus did that a lot. You know, Luke 16:16, I believe it is. The law and the prophets were until John. And he's talking about the day that John baptized him in the River Jordan. And Jesus, really, that was the coronation day. Anyway, I can't go teaching on that right now, but he said the law and the prophets were until John, till that day that he was baptized. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. So he's doing that right here. He is actually preaching the kingdom of God to these men, even though he knows they won't have the opportunity to be born again for a little while later, after he is crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified. But he's talking to them, preaching to them the kingdom of God. And he's going, listen, you've got to have faith like a mustard seed. There is something way bigger on the inside of you. No matter how insignificant you may feel like you are on the outside, quit looking at the mustard seed. Quit looking at your smallness and start looking at his bigness. Boy, that'll preach right there. Stop looking at your smallness and start focusing on his bigness within you. You are 1,000 times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. That is mustard seed faith. And by spending time with God, see, fellowship with God, you begin to love like him. You begin to think like him. He will explain mysteries to you. You'll start understanding the gospel. You'll come to the point where you understand God's method has not changed. You know, he created everything by saying. And God said, go back to Genesis 1. And God said, and God said, and God said, God, his faith works by saying. And the Holy Spirit moves on those words and you have results in the earth. That's how everything came into being. God said and the Holy Spirit did. And he's telling you, if you'll come to the place where you're aligned with the God who is in you, you love like him, it's called growing up. See, that's why 1 Corinthians 13 comes after 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, talking to these little baby Christians who are so immature, he says, you can't even talk yet. You're like little infants. God's using you in the gifts. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we have the most information in the Bible about the gifts of the Spirit. But it's the eyedropper method. He could only use them like little babies because that's what they were. He couldn't just hand them unbridled power. But that's why he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Boy, we want that. Thank God for the gifts. We're not against the gifts. But yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And what do we call 1 Corinthians chapter 13? That is the love chapter. See, that's called growing up. Near the end of that chapter, Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, but when I become a man, the whole chapter is about growing up into what? Into love. That image on the inside, Christ in you coming to maturity. And it's not a matter of God growing up. Listen, God's mature from day one. The Holy Spirit is mature from day one. No, it's you, little child. You're understanding. You're maturing. Just like Paul said, I put away childish things. Selfish ambition. The very next chapter, he starts trying to correct these little children. They were trying to out-tongues each other. You think you're a Christian? I'm a better Christian than you. You think you can speak in tongues? Just watch this. I'm going to take over this whole service. My tongues is more important than your tongues. Oh, prophecy? I can out-prophesy you at the drop of a hat. You go ahead. It's like little kids with toys. The Tonka truck. Here we go. Selfish ambition, pride. Their own agenda, wanting to be esteemed by each other as being superior to everybody else. Paul says, you're puffed up. And the truth of it was they had sin going on in that church that even the Gentiles wouldn't approve of. The unbelievers wouldn't approve of it. And they're just letting it go on, because even the leadership in the church was so immature. Really, the letters written mostly to the leaders. It was the leaders. He was saying, you're babies. You won't even correct this rampant sin, Anyway, can't get into all that today. All right. Mark 11. I want to read it one more time. It's just so good for us. Listen, mustard seed faith and Mark 11, 22 through 24, the same thing. He's teaching the same thing. I didn't see the next two verses after that, 25 and 26. What does he say? And if your brother trespass against thee, forgive him. It's the same thing. He's just like in Luke 17, he's teaching the same thing. Now, notice, I was going to read it again. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. He could have said, as a grain of mustard seed. It's teaching the same thing. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I'm going to stop for just a moment. Your faith someday has to grow to the point. Your acquaintance with him, your infilling of the Spirit, your knowledge of the Word someday has to graduate to where you understand. When you speak, he's going to back you up. When you speak to that problem, the Holy Ghost is going to move. That's mustard seed faith. There's something way bigger on the inside of you. God, you are the temple of God, the Holy Ghost. I'm just so little, I'm just me. No, quit looking at the mustard seed. Look at the one that's in the mustard seed. It's God in you, but he needs your lips to have authority on this planet. You've got to have a body on this planet. Jesus in his glorified body is not on the planet. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We are his body. See, and this brings me right back to what he was been teaching us out of Luke 17 about the good servant. That, listen, what we are to focus on is surrendering to him. That we're that good servant that he can send into the field. You know, what, how do you say it? Plowing or feeding cattle, whatever it is that he has you doing. And at the end of the day, even at the end of the day, after you put in a full day's labor for the master, you come in, you don't go to sit down to supper yourself first. You go check on him. Master, is there anything else you need? See, and thank God that he put that in there. Does he thank that servant? No, he doesn't thank that servant. And then he said to me that day, when was the last time you thanked your hand for obeying your mind? Oh, and I went, I don't thank my hand for obeying my mind. My hand is just part of me. And when that thought came, it's like a download of revelation. Vroom, vroom, it just started coming. All of those verses about you are the body of Christ. You are bone of his bone. You and Christ are one. And I finally understood it. He's talking about servants. Just like our hand is a servant to our mind. I don't see my hand as being separate from me. My hand is part of me. And that's what he said. Then he said, that's the way I see you, Gary. That's the way I see you, son. You and I are one. We are one. You are my servant, like your hand is your servant, but we're not separate. You and I are one. Now we're starting to talk mustard seed faith. He is one with me. Christ is in me. The Father's in him. And all of that is by the Holy Ghost. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I am his servant. And that's why I can say, okay, he finishes it up. And when you've done all those things that are commanded you, let's think about the hand. Hand, when you've done all those things every day that's been commanded you, just say about yourself, I am an unprofitable servant. I have done that which is my duty to do. See, my hand doesn't serve me from a profit motive. It's not like what's in it for me. Yeah, I'll obey you. Maybe. What are you going to give me? What if my hand started saying to my mind, oh, I'll obey you, but, you know, only if you give me another ring. In fact, I need two rings. I need rings on two different fingers. I need an extra helping of lotion today. Only then, if you promise me. Good Lord. Jesus was not that kind of servant to his Father, was he? He didn't punch a time clock. What's in it for me? Come on. No. In some ways, we retain that identity of the mustard seed. I am just who I am. I am just the seed. I am the servant. I'm the hand. I'm not in this for personal profit. It's not about my best life now. My duty is to do the will of him that sent me. That's just it. My hand, it always has that attitude. I'm going to go ahead and share one thing. Listen. Is it too early? Just a minute. Let's talk about communication between my mind and my hand. See, Dave used to teach us about why God preferred speaking to us through other tongues. It's because your spirit is able to process information infinitely faster than your natural brain. The gray matter, he said, your spirit is like the hard drive on a computer. It's able to process a lot of information really fast. Your mind is not like that. It's more like the monitor. It can only bring up one screen at a time. And he had some very funny illustrations of that to try and get us to understand why God prefers to communicate with us but in other tongues. So he's communicating directly with our spirit man rather than having to slow everything down through our mind. He gave me a little different illustration. See, I can speak to my hand one finger at a time. I can go, first finger, rise, boom, okay. Second finger, rise and join the first one, boom. Third finger, fourth finger, we can go at that speed, thumb. Now, one at a time, we can do it like that. But you know, there's communication between my mind and my hand that's faster than the speed of language. Watch this. Do you know my hand is not doing that on its own? My hand is receiving instruction from my brain way faster than language. I couldn't begin to speak. Look at this. That's not bad for 77. Come on. I hope you can see this. Those of you that can't, maybe you're only being able to hear this. I'm just moving my fingers so rapidly. It's much quicker than I could speak. I couldn't begin to speak that quickly to my fingers. They're moving so fast. The point is, there is a communication between my mind and my hand that's way quicker than just language. It is much that way when it comes to this functioning with God. He is able to communicate with our spirit man so much faster than he's able to communicate through language, one thought, one sentence at a time, to our natural mind. And that is why he prefers to speak with us spirit to spirit, directly mainly through the avenue of praying in other tongues. But we'll get to more of that here in a minute. But regarding Mark 11, 22 through 24, Jesus said that if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, and he says it here also, he says it in Mark 11, he says it in Luke 17, if you had faith, you would say. How did Jesus release the power of the Father within him to affect that fig tree? Did he just have, I'm just thinking bad thoughts towards this tree, bad thoughts. You tree, you're not producing fruit. Did he just, I'm just thinking, don't have fruit anymore. Is that how he released the power? No, he spoke. He spoke. You release God's power by saying. It's always been that way from Genesis 1. It's still that way now. Jesus spoke words that released the power of God that was within him. Jesus said plainly that he himself, even the Son of God himself, could of himself do nothing. It was the Father in him doing the works. Now, if you want to look at that again, that's John chapter 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, capital S, can do nothing of himself. That's heresy. Heresy. How slap you, Gary. How dare you say something like that? Well, I'm saying it because that's what he said. Look at it. John 5:19. The Son can do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then come over, look at a parallel passage in John 14, verses 10 through 11. John 14, verses 10 through 11. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the, now here we go, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm the mustard seed. In my human body, in my humanness, where I became a man, I humbled myself. I laid aside all of my, now Jesus is always divine. Don't write me no letters. I know that. But what he did, he's divine the whole time. He is God in the flesh. But it's like he set aside access to his divinity. He is functioning as a man, born of God, with the life of God in him, and anointed by the Holy Ghost. Why is he doing it that way? Because he is the pattern for us. We are to look unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 tells you we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the pattern we are to look for. Well, when he humbled himself, he became a mustard seed. He became a human. And he's going, it's not me, it's not me, it's the Father in me. What he's really saying, my shell, my human body is like the mustard seed. There's no power in the shell. It's not the flesh. It's not the humanness. No, it's God inside of me. He is demonstrating, every time Jesus does anything, he is demonstrating mustard seed faith. And he's plainly telling them, he didn't use those words, but he's saying, I myself am like the outside of the mustard seed. My flesh, it's insignificant. Another place, he said, the flesh profits nothing. You know, he had human flesh just like we have. And he's basically comparing himself right here to the mustard seed. He's going, the Son, and it's capital S, the Son can do nothing of himself. I'm the mustard seed. There's no power. But it's the Father in me. Oh, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. He's telling you. He's telling me. You need to develop that same kind of faith. Yeah, on the outside, you're just you. There's no power. You're like the mustard seed. He said, my body was like that too. But there's something on the inside of you. See, here we go. The greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to understand that when you speak, that power that God on the inside of you, he is doing the works. He will enforce those words. The Holy Spirit will move and manifest what you say. He's still creating or causing effect by speaking. But he needs your lips to do it. I'm going to read it again. John 14, verses 10 to 11. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Listen, the church is coming into a new era where the world is going to believe us for the very work's sake. We are going to develop this mustard seed faith. We are going to quit focusing on the outside and start focusing on the inside. We are going to die to self, mortify the deeds of the body, all of the teaching that we've been receiving for years, put it into practice every day, where we mortify, we crucify the flesh, mortify the deeds of the body. See, it's really Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now notice, holy and acceptable unto God. See, holy does not mean... What he means is sanctified for the Father's use, sanctified for the Lord's use. You become that good servant that it's my duty. I'm not in this for personal profit. Like my hand is the servant to my mind. We become the servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it you'd have me do, Lord? Need plowing, feeding the cattle, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, preaching the gospel. Lord, what is it you'd have me do? What is it you'd have me do? And whatever it is, Lord, it's just my duty to do it, and I'm loving to do it. But it's, Father, Lord, it's really you in me doing the works. I'm just the body. I'm the mustard seed. But greater are you in me than anything that's in the world. Oh, my goodness. See, an increase of faith comes when you stop looking at how little you are and focus on how big God is within you. An increase of faith comes when you understand that the way God releases his power on the earth has not changed since Genesis chapter 1. It hasn't changed. His method hasn't changed. God said, God said, God said. And Jesus says two different places here. If you have faith in God, if you have faith in the God that's within you, you would say, you start saying, you start speaking. In one of the blueprint messages, it says, speak the end result. Speak the end result. What is it that God wants? Speak. See, because God calls those things which be not as though they were. One time when he was teaching me hope, he said, godly hope is this, what has been is not what shall be. Quit calling things that are the way they are, because they already are. There's no power to change what are by calling things that are the way they are. They already are. No, power comes by calling those things which be not as though they were. That's why Abraham, God had to change his name so that every time he spoke, he's saying the end result. I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. Who are you? I am Abraham, and that means I am the father of a multitude. He had to change Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess. I am the princess. I give birth to the heir. I am young and fertile. I give birth to the heir. My name is Sarah. I'm the princess. And they had to say and say and say. And God did. 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. And it says Sarah herself had faith to conceive seed. But they had to say. They had to say about themselves what God said about them. Okay. How much time we got left? Well, we're really about done. I'm going to, back in 2002, a long time ago, in a galaxy far away. Okay, I'm sorry. No, okay. Way back in 2002, I wrote something called The Parable of the Mustard Seed. And I actually thought about reading it again today. It really illustrates this very well. It illustrates also the mortification process. You know, John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Boy, if that isn't true. It's so true with all of us. And we have to mortify the deeds of the body and learn to really follow the righteous nature that God has put on the inside of us when you got born again. See, when it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, of course we need to come to the place where we're led by the Holy Spirit. But in context, what he's really talking about there is not remaining an infant that's still dominated by the flesh. No, no, no. It's through that new spirit, that born-again spirit, that you mortify, you grow up, you mortify the deeds of the body. Paul would say, I put away childish things. And I become a man. See, and as you become a man, as you grow up into maturity in Christ, you put away, you mortify the deeds of the body. Now you're ready to follow the Holy Spirit. Now you're ready for adventures in God. This is now it becomes mustard seed faith. And once again, it's God in you. And when you speak, you release his power. Have faith in God. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye for now. Love you so much.